Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John and chapter 8. The Gospel according to John, chapter 8. And reading verses 10 and 11. John chapter 8. And reading verses 10 and 11. These words: when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And our subject this morning is no condemnation in Christ. No condemnation in Christ. This is the very heart of the gospel message. And the gospel message is presented to us in a glorious way in these very famous verses at the beginning of the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And well, in this chapter, just to set the context, this is the second year of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, his ministry, his teaching ministry, lasted 3 years. He lived on the earth, of course, for 33 years. But his teaching ministry, his preaching, the miracles and so on, all that we read in the gospel accounts, that only covers a period of 3 years. And in this chapter, chapter 8, this is the second year of his ministry. And well, many people are flocking to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have heard his words, they have seen his miracles, he is attracting much attention, and many people are flocking to him. And we read that here in the first two verses of chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple of Jerusalem, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. He is teaching the people in the temple at Jerusalem. And well, we shall see the scribes and Pharisees are envious. They are envious of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are supposed to be the religious teachers that everyone looks up to. They are supposed to be the learned men who everyone respects and esteems. They do not like this Jesus of Nazareth coming in, stealing all their praise, stealing all their esteem and respect. They despised him. They despised his teaching. And so they were constantly looking for a way to bring him down. That's what the scribes and Pharisees were doing. And well, we see their latest attempt here in chapter 8, in verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. They bring a woman to the Lord, a woman who has been caught in the act of adultery, even in the very act, red-handed, so to speak. And well, these Pharisees and scribes, they bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 5, well, they say, Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? That was the sentence for adultery in the Old Testament. If you were found in an adulterous act, well, the sentence was death. It wasn't always by stoning, by the way. It depended on the circumstances of the act. It wasn't always the case that they were stoned to death. But it was a very serious act. And by the way, it wasn't always just the woman. It's only the woman who's been brought out before the Lord Jesus Christ. if there was a stoning to be taking place, it was to be the man and the woman, not just the woman. So the Pharisees, they're a little overzealous, to say the least, and we'll say a bit more about that later. But, they bring this woman to the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? But look at verse 6. They're doing this for a very specific reason. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. They haven't really brought this woman to the Lord Jesus Christ because they're outraged about adultery. They haven't brought this woman because they're concerned for the honour of the law and concerned for the honour of God. They've brought this woman to the Lord Jesus Christ because they want to undermine him. They want to accuse him of something. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. They want to accuse him of something. They want to catch him out. Well, what do they want to accuse him of? Well, if the Lord Jesus Christ says to the Pharisees, you should let this woman off. This woman caught in adultery, you should let her go free. If the Lord Jesus Christ says that, then the Pharisees can say to the people, you see, this man is against the law. He's against the justice of the law. God has said, Moses has said, that this woman ought to be punished for adultery. This Jesus, he just wants her to be let off scot-free. If the Lord Jesus says no, let her go, then we've got him. We can trap him. And if, on the other hand, the Lord Jesus says, yes, you must stone her. Yes, you must stone her before us right now. Then they've also got him. They've also trapped him. They will say to the people, this Jesus of Nazareth, he's always talking about grace and mercy and loving kindness. But you see, when we bring someone to him, someone accused of adultery, someone accused of a crime, where is his mercy now? Where is his forgiveness now? And they can accuse him in that way. So they think they've got him. They think they've got him trapped. If he says let her off, he's against the law. If he says stone her, where is his mercy? This is not a kind man. So they've got him. Or have they? Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? But look at the middle of verse 6. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And let's read right down to the end of this account, because it will help us in our thinking, and then we'll apply some points. Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, verse 7, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. This is tremendous. The Lord has been writing on the ground. We don't know exactly what he wrote, but we'll consider this later. But because of what he is writing, one by one, those Pharisees and scribes, they leave until it is just the Lord Jesus Christ and the woman. And then we have those words in verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Isn't this a glorious account? It warms the heart. It amazes us, even just in the reading of it. But dear friends, I want to bring out four things about this account. Four things that will illustrate the great contrast between the way that men deal with sin and the way that the Lord deals with sin. through the gospel message that is presented to us in the Bible. Four glorious things. And the first thing that I would like to point out is that in Christ, there is no accusation. In Christ, there is no accusation. These scribes and Pharisees, they were accusers. We've already established this. This woman had committed a great sin, of course. There's no doubt about that. But they didn't care anything about the woman. They didn't care anything about the law. They only wanted to accuse her and accuse the Lord Jesus Christ. They were accusers. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ describes them. Woman, where are those thine accusers? And well, this is the way of men. These Pharisees, these scribes, they are accusers. But isn't this just the way of men generally? So often it is. We, in our fallen state, mankind, well, we are always accusing one another. Accusing one another of so many things. Pointing out the sins of one another. The faults of one another. The weaknesses of one another. We're always very quick to identify sins, faults, weaknesses. And it's not to help us in any way, but it's so often to attack one another and to make fun of one another and to hurt and injure one another. We are accusers by nature. Why, you see this even in childhood. Children are constantly accusing one another. We had our Sunday school ministry. We still do have it, of course, but we also had our Friday night meeting, our Friday meeting. And you know, during those meetings and during the time that we spend with the children, children are constantly accusing one another. Oh, this boy did this to me. That girl did that to me. Constantly accusing one another. You can guarantee that if you spend an hour with the children at the Sunday school, there'll be at least 10 to 20 accusations flown at one another. This is something that comes naturally to us. And of course, this follows us into adult life. We're always accusing one another. I don't know if you've noticed it, but in the midst of this coronavirus, we have the daily briefing, the daily press conference. And when you watch these press conferences, just for a few seconds, you'll realise that all it is just people accusing one another of various things. That's all it is. People accusing one another, casting stones at one another. The media will make accusations. Why haven't you done this? Why hasn't this been put into place? Haven't you been negligent with this? Why hasn't that been done? It's just accusation after accusation after accusation. This is the nature of man. We see this so often, and all the more in today's society. And of course, in today's society, we have a great fear of accusation. I've mentioned this so many times. You have to be careful what you say. You have to be careful what you type on Instagram or Twitter or any of these social media things. You have to be very careful what you say, because if you say the wrong thing, you'll be accused of something. You'll be accused of being a racist. You'll be accused of being prejudiced. You'll be accused of being a misogynist or whatever it is that people want to accuse you of. This is an accusing society, and there's a great fear of accusation nowadays. But Christ is not like that. Christ is not an accuser of men. You know, when we read of somebody who accuses people in the Bible, it's not Christ. Who is it who accuses people in the scriptures? It's Satan. Satan is the great accuser, the accuser of the Lord's people. Satan is the one who's always pointing out the faults of people, the sins of people, and saying, oh, they should be punished. There should be blood for this and for that. That's Satan. And you know, these scribes and Pharisees, well, they say that they're godly people. They say that they are the ones who represent the Lord. But actually, in this account, they're representing Satan. This woman has committed a great sin. Her blood is required. That is Satan's nature. Accusatory. He is the great accuser. But Christ is not like that. the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the opposite. He is our defender. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our defender, the great defender of men and women and youngsters, all those who seek him and trust in him. He will defend us, even though we don't deserve it. Even though there will be a great crowd against us, accusing us of many things, you trust in the Lord. He is our great defender, our great advocate on high. This is his role even now. He is the living Saviour. He is at the right hand of God. He is defending his people, our advocate. He's not an accuser. That's Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is our defender, even when we don't deserve it. And this is what we see here. The accusation of the scribes and the Pharisees. But Christ, the defender, defending this woman, even though she doesn't deserve it. So that's the first point. That's the first thing we ought to note from these verses, from this account. In Christ, there is no accusation. There is no accusation. But in Christ, and we have to add this very swiftly after that point, in Christ there is no delusion. There's no accusation, but there is no delusion. There's no delusion in Christ. What do I mean by that? Well, the scribes and Pharisees, they were under a great delusion, and we see this in many places in the scripture. They were under a great delusion. What was their delusion? Well, they have brought this woman to the Lord, saying in effect, this woman is a great sinner. This woman has done a terrible thing. This woman deserves to die. But the great implication is, but we don't. This woman is the great sinner. She deserves to die, but we don't. We're defenders of the Lord. We're very pious. We're keepers, protectors of the law. We love the law. We want to see it upheld. She's the evil one. She deserves to die, but not us. We're good, upright people. And that's the delusion that they were under. That this woman is worthy of the condemnation of God, but we are not. That's their great delusion. Are you under that delusion? Anybody listening or watching this message, are you under that delusion that there are some people who are sinners in this world? Yes, you know that. There are the Adolf Hitlers, there are the serial killers, there are the abusers of men and children. Oh, they're the sinners, but not me. I'm a good person. You'll be amazed how many professing Christians believe that. I was speaking to a brother a while ago, and he's a Christian, and he was telling me about this lady in his church who had been coming for a long time, many years, and he got into a long conversation with her, and he started speaking about sin. And this woman, well, she looked astonished. She looked offended. And she said to him, well, I'm not a sinner. Oh, no, I don't need to be forgiven my sin. Yes, I know that there are bad people in the world, but not me. I've been coming to church a long time, from a child, since I was a child. I don't need to be forgiven. I've never done anything bad. And so many people are like this. They think that they are not sinners. But dear friends, that is a great delusion. That is a terrible delusion. The scriptures say that we are all sinners. All of us sinners. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. This is what this apostle said, the apostle John, in his first letter. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You lie to yourselves. That's what the apostle says. If you say that you have no sin, well, that's actually a sin. Saying you have no sin, that's a sin. It's the sin of lying. Isn't that a sin? To lie is a sin. And well, these things are delusions if we believe that we have no sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And furthermore, we make out God to be a liar. The first thing we do is we lie to ourselves, we deceive ourselves by saying, I have no sin. But then you also make out God to be a liar. God says in his word, we are all sinners. Oh, he's lying. That's what we say. That's what we approve when we say that we are not sinners. God is the liar. Well, that's terrible. That's blasphemy against God. So, dear friends, we must make sure that we are not deluded in this terrible way. And well, it is true that some people have committed sins greater than others, but we have all committed sin. You may not have committed adultery in person, physically with somebody else, but remember what the Lord said, if you have even looked at another woman or another man to lust after that person, you have committed adultery in your heart. In your heart. You may not have killed somebody, you may not have murdered somebody, but if you've hated someone in your heart and wished them out of your life, wish that that person was dead, that you never saw that person, if you curse someone inwardly, that person is an idiot, oh, I hate that person, that's the root of murder, that's the root of violence. You are guilty, you are a sinner. Dear friends, each and every one of us, we are sinners. Each and every one of us deserves punishment. And so this is why the Lord stooped down. We read here that, well, they bring this woman to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. What is he writing on the ground? We don't know. But we know that it convicted the Pharisees of their sin. It troubled their conscience. It made the Pharisees realize that they were sinners too. That it wasn't just this woman. They were sinners too. And one by one, well, they had to leave. They were so full of shame. This is what is meant here. Every sin is recorded, is written down by God. And that is what we all have to understand. Every sin that you have committed, it is known to God. It is recorded by God. And one day we will have to stand before God and we will have to give account of our lives. And on that day, well, there will be no doubt. There will be no delusion. We will know with great certainty, I am a sinner. And these things are very solemn. But dear friends, we must move on to our next point. There is no delusion with the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the good news. If you come to the Lord, there is no condemnation. No accusation, no delusion, no condemnation. With the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the incarnate Son of God. God with us. He is the only one who has lived on this earth who is without sin. Of course, he is the Holy God. And remember what he says here in verse 7. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who is without sin. If there's anybody qualified to cast stones, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one who is sinless. There was somebody there who was without sin, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ has not come to cast stones. Christ has not come to condemn. Christ has come to save. This is well known in the scripture and in the gospel accounts. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But do you know John 3:17? John 3:17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Christ has not come to condemn, to cast stones at us. He has come to save us, no matter how vile we are, no matter how great the sin that we have committed is. He has come to save us. Dear friends, it may be the case that some people are listening to this. They are guilty of great sins. Maybe they are adulterers. Maybe they are murderers. Maybe they are abusers. Maybe there are things that are so shameful you don't tell them to anybody else. Nobody else knows what you have done except you and God. It's too shameful. You wouldn't dare confess it to anybody else because they would condemn you. But dear friends, you can confess it to God. Whatever is upon your heart, whatever causes you shame, whatever brings you down, you can come and confess it to God. Will God punish you? No. God will forgive you. If we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That is the promise of the Scripture. We can come with full confidence, knowing that Christ, because of Christ, there is no condemnation. Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But how is this possible? How can it be that there's no condemnation? Is not God a just God? Do we not read in the Scriptures that God has to punish sin? So how can we be forgiven? If every sin must be punished, how can we be forgiven? Well, because Christ, He was punished for us. He was condemned in our place. This is the glory of the gospel. He has said to God the Father, Lord, punish me instead of them. I love my people. I will lay down my life for my people. I will shed my blood for my people. That's why there's no condemnation in Christ, because He has taken the condemnation for us, instead of us. And what a blessed Saviour He is. Oh, praise be to God that we have such a Saviour in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that is what we believe. That is what every Christian ought to believe. Not that I'm not a sinner. A Christian doesn't think to himself, oh, I've never really done anything wrong, therefore I don't need forgiveness. No, a Christian knows that Christ has died for me. He has stood condemned in my place, and He has borne all my sin away. And dear friends, when you are forgiven by God, nobody else can ever accuse you. Nobody else can accuse you. If God has pardoned you, who can accuse you? If God be for you, who can be against you? Let the world say what it will about you. And if you are a Christian, well, people will say all sorts of things about you. They will accuse you of being bigoted, of being narrow-minded, of being prejudiced, of being unkind, of being homophobic. All sorts of accusations will come your way. And Satan will accuse you also. Satan, the great accuser of the brethren, he will come alongside you and say, oh, you deserve to be cast away. Call yourself a Christian? You're not worthy to be counted amongst God's people. He will accuse you. But dear friends, you will know that Christ has died for you. You know that you are not worthy, but this will be your plea and your defense. Christ has died. He has taken upon Himself the punishment that I deserved. You can lay aside all those accusations and rejoice, because Christ is your Saviour. These are glorious things. Look at verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, everyone else had fled because their sins had been exposed. He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. No condemnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, seek Him and find Him. But just one final point I must add before we close. We've spoken how there's no accusation in Christ, no delusion, no condemnation. But in Christ, there's no looking back. There's no looking back. This is the exhortation to the woman. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Don't go back to your old life. Don't go back to your old sins. Don't indulge in them. Look what it brought you. You indulged in your sins. You gave in to your passions and your lusts. Look what happened. You were accused. You were in trouble. You were brought to the very brink of death. Don't go back. And that is the exhortation to every Christian. When you know the grace, when you know the mercy of the Lord, the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ is don't go back. Don't you realize what trouble your sin brought you? Don't you realize what pain and grief it brought you? Don't you realize that you were heading for hell until I saved you from the very brink? Don't go back. Go forward. Advance. And that's what you do. That's what you do as a Christian. You turn away. You repent from your sin. You live a life of holiness. You hate your sin. You don't want to sin anymore. You want to live a holy life, a life that is clean, a life without any pain, without any guilt, without that guilty conscience, a life that is full of peace and joy, acceptance with God, a life that is full of love, and at the end, eternal life. That is what we have. That is what we look forward to. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no regrets. There will be no looking back. There will only be that looking for the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes again. And on that day, well, there will be no accusation, no man to accuse you. God will welcome you into that eternal kingdom. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into peace and joy. That will be what you have in front of you, what you have to look forward to. No looking back, no regrets. These are the lessons of this glorious passage. The woman taken in adultery, great sin, sin that deserves punishment. But come to Christ, dear friends. If there is sin in your life, come to Christ. There is only mercy and grace and wonderful forgiveness. May the Lord bless these things to us. No accusation, no delusion, no condemnation, no looking back. There is only a looking forward to a life of holiness, to a life of peace, to a life of everlasting joy. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O dear Lord, we thank thee for the gospel message. We thank thee for the joy it brings to our hearts. We thank thee, dear Lord, for the forgiveness of sin, no matter how vile they are, no matter how serious. Lord, we know that when we come and when we bring our sins to thee and confess them, there is only forgiveness. There is only peace and everlasting joy. Oh, dear Lord, may our joy be full in Christ. May we not reject him, but may we embrace him and his salvation and know joy forevermore. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.